Alright, hooligans. Proverbs 25:26. Have we done this one? Six ways you're going to be tempted. Alright, 25:26. So if you're going to blow up your life or ministerial career, here's how you're going to do it. Alright? 25:26. Read that.
Like a muddy spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked.
What is a trampled spring or a muddy spring in a polluted well? And if you're out in the middle of the desert and you're thirsty and you come up upon one of those, what do you think?
Darn.
Yeah, what a waste of a perfectly good well, right? Yeah, darn, that's exactly what Layla would say. In a sanctified moment. Think of other four-letter words. Good job, Layla. You're spiritual. 6 a.m. It was at one point useful and now is useless. Okay, it is polluted. It is undrinkable, so it does not serve its purpose. In the same way, a righteous man who gives way before the wicked that once had a purpose to be used for God and now cannot because they have failed somewhere. Okay, so here's. Here are your 6 D's. So if you like D's, write them down. These are good. If you don't like D's, then change them later and make them do your own. But if you're going to fail in ministry or whatever it may be, these are the errors that are going to be prevalent for most people. Number one, deception. If you fall into theological error, that will be a big one, okay? What are the theological errors now? They were even different maybe when I went through a program, but what do you guys hear right now? What's out there?
Errors?
Yeah, error. E-R-R-O-R, error. Don't ask me the difference between affect and effect. I still don't know that. It's so hard. I remember this stuff. Yeah. And I can't do 7th grade math apparently. I just bowed out on my kids. Like, I can't help anymore. So I don't know. Sorry. Yeah, they're my insecurities. Theological errors. How did we get there? What do you guys hear?
I heard somebody the other day say, like, they were saying, like a Christian, she was like, I mean, the Bible isn't like, it was like assembled by man, so it's not like, you know, it's not like God himself wrote it, there'd be error in it. It's yep. Like, it's a good tool, but it's yep. not, and I was just like,
oh my gosh. Yep. That's been around a while. What's the ultimate purpose of that? Why does someone want to discredit the scriptures?
So they don't have to believe them.
So they don't have to do ultimately what they say. So if you can find a hole in a part and the whole thing is fallible, then you don't have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, whatever it may be. What else do you guys hear?
There's no hell.
There's no hell. That's very current, right? You take guys like Rob Bell, like others that are out there. There's some great theologians, even back when I was in seminary, John Stott being one of them, whose commentaries are amazing, except for the fact that he doesn't believe in hell, or literal hell, okay? So he's phenomenal everywhere else. And you get guys extreme to the extreme and say, there is no hell, right? Love wins. At the end, we're all just going to be in one big happy place together. It's like, well, that sounds great, and I really wish that were true. That's just not what the Bible teaches, right? It's a lot easier to preach that from the pulpit. It's a lot easier when I go hang out with my Christian friends to believe, or my non-Christian friends to believe that. But that's prevalent, and it comes around every so often. Okay, and that one's hot and on us right now. Okay, there's going to be a new error in grace. They say probably about every 10 years something's going to come up, and it's basically Christians looking for a way to sin without. And finding a theological reason to do so. Okay, hey, we're all saved. Paul dealt with it in Romans 6. You know, should we continue to sin that grace may increase? And Paul said, heck no. Just like Layla. Darn no. But those are going to come up. Okay, so just be aware of them, all right? Charismatic movement, there's all kinds of just theological errors out there that sound pretty and look sexy on the outside, but you start uncovering them and they're polluted wells, okay? Secondly, discredit, okay? Moral failure. That will be an area where we're all susceptible to failure, okay? So, you know, pick your area, whether it's anger, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's, you know, pick it. But that's going to be the one that if you fail there, you can discredit yourself for ministry, okay? Thirdly, distractions. Okay? There is a reason, by the way, that there's an entire chapter in Scripture devoted to not getting married. You guys know what that is? Paul talks about it. 1 Corinthians 7, okay? And it's not because you're evil, it's because you're trying to be responsible. You're trying to be a good husband or a good wife, and you're dealing with life and kids and soccer and jobs and mortgage and car payment and how am I going to get the PG&E taken care of, and you just get distracted. And it's not that you're pursuing evil things, it's just that you're no longer maybe as effective as you were as a single-minded, single individual that didn't have to worry about stuff. Okay, there are times that, I look back on my single days with fondness for some things and think, man, it was easy to go on a mission trip, right? I could get ready about a week, right? I had no responsibilities, I had rent to pay, and, you know, I just moved out or whatever, and now I don't have any responsibilities, right? There was no car payment, there was no one depending on me for anything, right? And you could just kind of go, and there's seasons in life where, man, that's really handy. Like, I think about my schedule now, and we're trying to plan an Israel trip, and I'm, like, getting my calendar together with Brad a year in advance, going, when can I go, and when can he? It's a disaster trying for us to figure out when we can leave to be away from jobs and family, and, you know, it's hard. So it's not bad, but you just have to be aware of the fact that you can get very, very distracted doing good things that just aren't ultimately redemptive things, okay? So just be aware of that. I see so many singles that start great, are making an incredible impact, they get married, and then just get off doing married people things, and unfortunately maybe don't have the spiritual impact that they once did, okay? So as you guys are looking around for singles, make sure that there's a commitment from your potential spouse that, man, that's not going to be the case, okay? So, and that doesn't have to look like full-time ministry per se. You just want to make sure that you guys are pursuing Christ in the same direction, and that you have a heart to continue to do that as you get married, okay? Fourthly, divisiveness, okay? If you can't get along with other people, you're not going to be a lot of help in ministry, okay? And we see this seminary, like, inbreeds these people. So, and we laughed at them when we were there, but there were people that, like, went from the womb, trusted Christ about, like, when they got circumcised, right around that age, in like 8 days, right? Grew up in this Christian bubble their entire life, went to Christian college, went to Christian private school, went to a Christian... right, and have never actually spoke to a non-Christian their whole life, and they can say words like superlapsarianism that I don't even know what that means, and they can have all the debates, but when you try to put them in a, like, in a room with a non-Christian or to deal with other people on staff, like, they just can't get along with other people, right? And they may be really smart walking, you know, Webster's dictionaries, but they're not very helpful in the real world, okay? Make sure you can get along with others. With a D.
D-I-D.
You want me to do everything for you, Callie?
Yes.
D-I-V. So I can shut up for divisiveness, okay?
So divisiveness is going along with others?
I just scribbled.
Yeah, being divisive, not being able to.
I know what that is. My division, similar. Clash, but get along with each other.
Number five. Discouragement. Guys, ministry's hard, and one of the really frustrating things about doing ministry, and for those of you guys that are just in the lives of people, you don't see immediate change, right? It isn't just, I do this, then this happens, and if I put in this many hours, or if I have these conversations, then this is the life change that we're going to see, and more often than not, you see a step forward and two steps back, and it just gets, after a long period of time, if you don't have the right filter to measure results, it gets hard. It just gets old, right? When you can go out and do jobs where you check boxes and get a raise or get accolades or a plaque on the wall. So for those of us that are achievers and need recognition for work done, you need to look back on a day and say, what did I do? Ministry does just not fit in that box, okay? So remember that as you guys are laboring for the gospel. You got to take the stories of life change that you hear, you got to tuck those away and make sure that you hang on to the ones that you get. Okay, God does not owe us that. You know, Paul talked about that. I planted Apollos water and God caused the growth. Paul didn't necessarily get to see the end results of his labor, but he did it regardless, right? We talked about Jeremiah here before, that did what God told him to for 50 years. There were just nothing, but he did it anyway. Okay, so you've got to find victories in other areas and not measure those incorrectly or somehow think that just because nothing's happening externally doesn't mean I'm doing my job. Sometimes it does, but not always. Okay, so discouragement. And then lastly, I'd say danger, which is just simply the fear of stepping out, right? The fear of failure, the fear of not being able to accomplish your goals. So you just get comfortable and become very ineffective because you're not ultimately in an environment that's safe and secure and that you can control, okay? So those are the six that I just put on your radar, okay? Deception, discreditment, distractions, divisiveness, discouragement, and danger. Okay, one of those six will ultimately disqualify you in one way or another from doing great ministry if you're not aware of them, okay? So just put those on your the back of your mind and think through them and think about maybe which ones are the most prevalent for you that you're most susceptible to. We all have, obviously, in every one of those potential failure options, but maybe one or two will stick out more than others, okay? So for the long haul of ministry, do not fall into those. Keep faithful and keep pushing on, okay? Thoughts on those before we move on.
Are these like if it happens once you're done for, or if it's like a lifestyle kind of thing?
You know, some are different, right? You look at, I don't know, maybe the fear of stepping out. You can not and not and not and finally do it and see it happen. There are some areas of discreditment, right, morally, that, you know, if Brad has an affair and he's done, right? And that's going to go on our podcast and there's going to be 20,000 people to hear about it. He's going to disqualify himself from ministry. So there are levels of, not levels of sin, but there are levels of failure that are just different. And some will disqualify you forever. Some will disqualify you till tomorrow. You know, it just depends. So, and it's easy to get, you know, like in, with distractions, it's easy to get distracted and you can ultimately get undistracted, I suppose. So, yeah, there's going to be different levels. Okay. And again, the higher you are up the tree, in theory, the bigger the consequences for when these type of things hit your life, if they do, okay? So, okay, Miles.